Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right, so I never know how to start the fucking show.
Every fucking week for fucking, you know what? We're seasoned fucking DJs at this point.
Okay, here we go.
And we
ready?
Still don't know how to start the show.
Ready? Yeah. Action! Be funny, motherfucker. Go.
That doesn't work. I like it better when you're like, coming at ya. That's like your fucking signature move. Coming at ya.
All right. All right, everybody. That was Peter Norica coming live at you at WRIMJOB. Yeah, off his smash hit record, Box of Rocks. That's Who's Right. I don't know if any of that's true. Anyway.
All right. I got nothing. Hey there, cat daddies.
Anthony and I just got done recording. So we took John from Brand X advice about Patreon and decided to put some content on there. So I what's so fucking funny?
That's fucking decided to put some content on there. We're fucking stupid. we've had this thing up for fucking year. Decided to put some content on there.
So I ended up did about a short the story about how I was going to kill myself. It's pretty funny.
Hilarious.
So I know John was recording tonight, and I don't know if he's still recording, but he had made a comment, what little I seen on there, that he was hoping we'd be recording at the same time so that he could just feed our live broadcast into his show, which I assume then
I'm assuming
that's like syndication, so I would expect to get paid from that, and yep. Two, his show would be funny then. So it's like a good
thing. And his audience would go up immediately. People would just know, like, oh, these guys are on. We got to go.
So how was your week, man?
We're on the air. It was all right. I was busy. Fucking Thanksgiving and all that shit. How about you?
Well, so my wife and daughter went back to Illinois for Thanksgiving, and I had to stay here because, you know, I just started this new job, and I can't just up and fucking leave.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had these big plans of, you know, I was thinking maybe I'd go to the bar or something and get a drink or something. I would do something. Today's what? Friday? Is that right?
Friday, yeah.
Yeah, today's Friday. Yes. She left when did she leave? Last week? Sunday? Saturday?
I don't know.
She left last Friday. She left a week ago.
Oh, God.
let's see. She left Friday. So then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I went to work, and then I got home from work Wednesday night, and today is the first time I left the house, and that was only to go get food.
Okay, the most important question, how many times have you spanked it?
All of them.
Perfect. there's no other acceptable answer.
Whenever
my wife leaves, that's like, that's it.
She's not even out of the driveway yet. Looks like a fucking crime scene in here.
My cock hurts already, and she just pulled out of the driveway.
Hey, so people are asking, what's that wrapped around your microphone there?
It is just a rag.
No.
My microphone is too small for this shock mount. And I like the shock mount better than I like the clip style mounts. So I use the rag to take.
That's
up
not
space.
Nearly as funny as the answer as I was expecting.
It's underwear. Your mom's underwear.
See? This big.
I like to look at your mom's underwear while we're recording.
So I went to feel better. I talked to John from Brandex, and
yeah,
there's only two things that him and I have in common. That's podcasting and food. So
awesome.
I went to on his recommendation. It's called Jersey Mike's. They make subs and shit. So all I knew is that I didn't want to leave the house tomorrow for any reason. So I went in there and ordered enough food for today and tomorrow.
Is it a fast food place? I never heard of it.
I wouldn't say it's fast food, but I mean, they cook everything to order right there, but
okay.
They make like, what are them sandwiches that Philly cheesesteaks?
Okay.
But anyway, yeah.
Anyways.
So I ordered 28 inches of sandwich, and then
28 inches of sandwich.
The girl that took my order kept looking behind me, like waiting for somebody else to walk in. And then she asked that fucking question: "Is this for here or to go?"
You should have. I need 28 inches of sandwich and a Diet Coke. Oh shit, that's great.
Other than that, it's just me and my dog sitting here watching fucking movies all weekend. Fucking
lame.
Oh, I got fucking blocked on Twitter. Fucking
so,
mother.
So did I.
No, I got blocked by Twitter, not just one
by
person.
By Twitter, not just one person, all of them.
I got blocked by the internet. It's this fucking stupid thing. It's called shadow banning. Yeah. So they don't even tell you that you're fucking blocked. It's just, so I'm sitting there doing all the show tweets and everything. Nobody's fucking seeing shit, God. You know? So
I'm fucked, man.
I'm used to getting a certain amount of interaction whenever the majority of times that I tweet.
Sure.
And here in the last couple of days, you know, when I've been holed up in here, so I'm not lying. My wife was not out of the cul-de-sac yet, and I was already closing all the blinds in the house, so it was completely dark in here.
Awesome.
So all of a sudden, I start like noticing that there's very little interaction.
Yeah.
And then I was in a conversation with Dave, the producer from The Story Behind, and he's like, "Yeah, wait. I'm not." Oh, he is the Story Behind it from what the fuck's the name of Juliet's show?
What the fuck? You fucked me all up. Fucking Unwritable Rant.
Right.
God.
Oh, yeah. He said thanks for sticking up for him in that bullshit with the Tom and Dick show or Steve.
Oh, that
Dave.
Was some fucked up shit. Yeah. Yeah. That was fucked up. Fucking douchebag.
Go ahead. Tell the rest of the story. I got to make a note.
What's the?
Yeah, I guess I can't.
So that guy from the guy from the fucking Tom and Steve Dick and Harry show, fucking talking shit about Juliet Miranda. And what the fuck, man? You gonna come on? You know what the fuck?
You're good at this.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I told you I'm fucking terrible. I'm.
What's the deal with Tom and Steve?
I told you I'm the fuck. You lead the show, right? I'll be the guy that just butts in every once in a while, says some stupid shit that makes people laugh. All
right, so
I'm like the fucking clown with the fucking runny mascara.
You're the John Wayne Gacy of the show.
I'm the fucking sad clown.
So anyway, so I quit getting any notifications. So it's just like I'm for 2 days, and I didn't even realize it, for 2 days, I'm out there just tweeting to nobody. Nobody's seeing anything.
Jesus,
you know, so
Christ.
It's bad enough to try to put together all these stupid fucking tweets for this piece of shit show. But then to realize that I was doing it for nothing, just, I'm like, fuck it, I'm done. I don't care. I don't care about the fucking show. I don't care about Anthony. I'm going to go back out to the garage. Yeah, so what, Tom and Steve... So,
yeah, fuck them guys. Or that guy.
Yeah, I don't. Even,
I think it's just one guy.
It is now. I don't care about that.
I don't either. Fuck them. But he blocked me, so fuck him double.
Double fuck them. So I got something.
Yeah.
I just put this on the list. I just put this on the list, so you may not have seen it.
Okay.
All right. So this is fucking great. For some reason, all of a sudden, me and Dave, the producer, are talking like two little schoolgirls. And I sent him the link to our very first show.
Yeah.
So then I went back and listened to our very first show.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And so it's bad, but you can make it even worse by slowing it down. So if you remember, right. If you remember, John used to complain about all the spaces and how he had to play it fast, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so this is Who's Right Podcast. Find us on Who's Right Podcast.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
Facebook. We are. My name is Anthony. I'm Doug. All right. So today we're going to talk about welfare, actually, and whether or not
holy fuck,
people should be drug tested.
Sounds like I should be drug tested. That's fucking terrible. Holy fuck, that's horrible. Who are those fucking douches and how'd they end up here?
He said that we were like Face the Nation with two autistic kids or something.
Okay, so I know what autistic kids are. What's Face the Nation? Does that just show how stupid I am?
I think it does, yeah.
All right,
so did you want to get started on this?
Yeah.
I think we got a couple of things to talk about, and then I want to get the fuck off of here.
Me too.
I'm already over it.
Who wants to do a fucking podcast anyways?
I've been on your ass for the last 3 days. Come on, can we record? Can we record? Can we record? 15 minutes in, and I'm fucking done.
Done.
I knew that was going to happen when we recorded that Patreon shit. That just took so much out of me, opening up like that.
You know,
I can make fun of it. Fuck, it was me, fucker.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I can't say nothing. It was a great story.
All right. Let's talk about eels in the butt.
What? What?
In the eels butt? In the butt. All right.
So I found these three stories. They're all out of China, and they're all similar. I'm gonna read this first one here. They're pretty short. So doctors remove giant eel inserted into drunk man's butt. Doctors in China recently removed a giant eel that was inserted into a man's anus. The man in his 40s arrived at Nanchang University. Nunchuck University Hospital in eastern China, drunk and too embarrassed to explain why the sea creature was inside his body. The eel slithered its way into the man's abdomen, causing a serious obstruction. Surgeons successfully removed the slithery serpent, and the man, who refused to be identified, is now recuperating in hospital.
I think so, I would just have to die.
That's what I was saying. I'm not going to the hospital. Sorry. I'm eel in my butt. That's how I died.
We're about to find out how long you can live with an eel in your butt because I'm not going to the hospital.
Yep. No, you know what? On second thought, I'd go and I'd ask for the hottest fucking nurse there. The hottest nurse that's been there the shortest amount of time.
Exactly.
And then the next one is a man gets padlock stuck in his bladder after pushing it up his penis. A man was rushed to the hospital after he got a padlock wedged in his bladder. The 31-year-old, who hasn't been named, inserted the small lock into his urethra and pushed it further down his penis for sexual pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
But the padlock traveled into his bladder, and it became stuck.
How
there.
Big is your fucking dick hole that you could put a padlock in there?
Big. Huge. That's exactly what I thought, but there's a picture with it, and it looks like one of those little luggage locks.
That's fine. Still much bigger than...
bigger than your pee hole?
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess I'm derailing your story here, but...
No, you're fine.
Have you ever had anybody try to put something in your pee hole?
Nope.
There's nothing pleasurable about it. It's like, get the fuck away from there. Don't put nothing... Don't...
So I hate to keep bringing this back up. That's not true. I love to keep bringing this back up, but I watched a Roxy Ray video where she took a paintbrush, the little paintbrushes, and stuck it in her pee hole, and it was weird. I'm not sure I understand.
I just happened to look over at the screen and seen your face. And
yeah.
I could tell what was going on. One, you were like, why did I start this story? Two, what am I supposed to go from here? And three, yep. Why the fuck did she put a paintball up her pee hole? Or paintbrush up her pee hole? Because your face, you just stopped and you were looking dead in the camera and you're like, it was just weird.
Man, I don't know. All three of those things are true. I shouldn't have started the story because where am I going to go with it? And I don't understand the sexual pleasure because I don't.
Yeah. All right.
I got nothing, man. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Keep going here.
The padlock traveled into his bladder and it became stuck there. He was taken to hospital in Fuzhou City in East China, and shocking x-ray shows the padlock jammed into his organ. I love when they refer to a penis as an organ. That cracks me up. Doctors had to perform various tests to decide whether it was safe to operate on the patient. When they did, they reportedly had to cut a hole in the man's bladder to release the lock. The patient's name remains in hospital and may suffer lasting damage. Yeah, you deserve lasting damage if you shove a fucking padlock up your pee hole.
I would think that even a small padlock would hurt my poop hole.
Yes.
Okay, so you look at things and your mind associates, you know, like, so I assume that if I was a woman,
yeah,
and I was walking through the grocery store, I'd see a cucumber and be like, yeah, I'm going to fuck that.
Do you really think that that's how?
I think that's how women think.
Well, look at that watermelon. I'm going to take that whole thing.
You don't think women look at things like, oh yeah, I could shove that up my pussy.
No, I think men think women think like that.
So okay, let me ask you this: do you think guys look at things and say, oh, I could fuck that?
Oh, guys or me? I think that. Yeah, I don't know about other guys, but yeah, I do.
Okay, so you think that, and I think that. So that's 100% of people polled think this way. So
yes,
Women just won't talk about it because they're prim and proper or whatever. But I think that they look at everything and figure, can they figure it up? Can they put it up their pussy?
So if I could figure out a way to string together like six donuts, I'd be fucking great, man.
Why six?
Who am I kidding? I only need like three.
What the fuck are you talking about? So my brother used to troll me before I even knew what trolling was, you know. So when I was a little kid, so like 5 or 6, you know, he would tell me things just to try to see if he could get me to do it. And I remember I came across, that's funny, I came across the Playboy. I did that once, but I'd gotten my hands on a Playboy. And I think he found it on my mattress or something. And he said, well, you know what your older brother does, which it was my stepbrother. He says, you know what your older brother does? He cuts a hole where their privates are, and then he has sex with that. And he says it feels like the same thing. And then he just left it at that. So naturally, what the fuck am I supposed to do? I have to try to fuck it.
Well, of course. You're gonna fuck this magazine.
And what I figured out is that I could cut a hole in it, and then put my hand on the other side of it, and it felt good.
Amazing. Oh, my God. So I found out the same sort of way that when you cut a hole in a magazine and you stick your tongue in it, It just tastes like paper. It doesn't really do anything for you.
I think every guy, it doesn't matter how they were raised, I think every guy goes through the same type of shit when they're, because nobody talks about that shit, you know? Nobody.
Not until you're in your 40s.
Yeah. So, you know, by the time my dad tried having a talk with me about having sex and everything, I'd already had a fucking threesome and, you know.
Awesome.
I can remember my stepmom walking in on me jerking off once. I must have just been taking myself to Pound Town, man, because the bed was squeaking so fucking hard. She just busts in my bedroom and she's like, "Everything okay in here? It sounds like you're getting sick."
Sounds like you're getting sick.
Yeah, I fucking flopped over so fucking fast. Oh, everything's fine. Get the fuck out.
So, I was on the verge of having a threesome, foursome, three, four, fivesome, I suppose. they call that an orgy.
Yeah, that's an orgy.
Oh, fuck. And I fucked it up for everybody, man. No. I still feel bad about this to this day. We were at this dude's house, and there's these two girls there, and they were both hot as hell. And the one girl's like, "Oh, I need to take a shower or whatever." I'm like, "All right, whatever." And the other girl went in the bathroom. They were both gone for a few minutes, and we walked in there, and they were in the fucking shower together, fucking making out, whatever. And it was, there was me and a buddy and this dude that I didn't know. And I was 16, but I didn't drive there. And I was so worried about getting home at my curfew because my dad was going to be so mad. I had to be home at a certain time or whatever. I made this dude drive me home. I still don't know. The dude that I didn't know stayed there with these two chicks. Maybe he fucked them. I don't know. But those chicks were like, "You guys need to get in the shower with us." I mean, they were obviously down to fuck all three of us. I mean, and I was like, I gotta go. God. Still looking back on that, I'm just like, what a fucking idiot. You've got to be kidding me, man.
I can remember, so that the first threesome that I had, we were still in high school, and one of the girl's dads came to pick her up, and I didn't mean it when I said it this way, but I walked her to her dad's truck. She got in the truck and sat down, and I looked at him and said, "Thanks for letting her come." And get it?
Did you laugh? Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you laugh when you said it?
Yeah, but she didn't.
That's amazing.
All right, hey, are we going to finish this story?
Yeah. Man put 15 sewing needles up the hole
right
in
back
his penis
into it
for sexual excitement.
All right.
So, so this is something I've never had. All the kinks and weird shit that I've ever done, had, thought of, whatever, pain and pleasure never were two things that mixed for me. So none of this makes any sense. But
yeah, I've never been a fan of pain at all.
Nope.
But this thing about sticking needles in your dick, I think there's a serial killer that used to get into that. Albert Fish, if you know anything about him.
Oh, yeah. I listened only just from the last podcast and the last episode.
Yeah, and I think he used to do the same thing. He used to put needles up his pecker and up his butthole.
Yep.
And then just walk around like that.
Yeah, just walk around and... God, that's horrible.
All right.
Yeah, that's it. That was it. I'm not even going to read it. Fuck it. 15 needles in his penis for sexual excitement. Fuck it.
All right.
You get the fucking idea.
There's this video that I'm sure everybody has already fucking seen. But, of course, because I don't spend a whole lot of time on Facebook, I just seen it. Apparently, it's out of a church.
"Well, I wrote this song for the Christian youth. I want to teach kids the Christian truth. If you want to reach those kids on the street, then you got to do a rap to a hip-hop beat. So I gave my sermon an urban kick. My rhymes are fly, my beats are sick. My crew is big and it keeps getting bigger. That's because Jesus Christ is my nigga."
So what do you make of this?
I think that's just amazing. I think that me and you are getting to that point in our life where we are just grasping at trying to relate to the youth. And we are like two steps away from making this video.
So I don't know if the video is fake. It goes on for about 3 minutes, and there's an old lady that sings and everything. But it you know what? I'm not even going to try to make sense of it. I just thought it was funny because it says the N-word. I don't know what else to say. I'm not...
I just thought it was funny because it said the N-word. That's just good, clean comedy right there. I just thought it was funny because it said the N-word. Oh, my God.
All right. So you read the three stories that you put up, and I've got seven more fucking stories to go. So we're not even going to alternate. You just want me to plow through them then?
if you want, whatever you want to do, I can read whatever you want.
All right, here we go.
You just tell me, and I'll read whatever.
Pervert trick.
Except for that one. I'll let you read that one.
You won't read it. You won't read it as if that means that you did it. Pervert trick brothers into performing oral sex on each other.
I'm out.
So I think this is bullshit.
Okay.
I'm going to start reading the story, and I want you to go beep, beep, beep when you think that I get to the bullshit part, all right?
Okay, all right.
Harry Johnson would pretend to be girls. Beep, beep, beep.
Sorry. Oh, fuck.
All right, can I try it again?
Yeah, yep. Hey, fucking Harry Johnson, come on.
Harry Johnson would pretend to be girls called Melissa, Amy, or Becca as he groomed seven children aged between 11 and 16. In one incident, he got two brothers to perform oral sex on one another, and in another case, he made a boy try to have sex with his family dog. In a victim impact statement, the mother of the brothers said, "I felt physically sick. My boy's innocence has been taken away. The effect this has had on our family, I would not wish on anyone." So why the fuck would you let an 11-year-old boy have free reign on the fucking internet? If this is true.
Yeah. My kids are just now starting to be able to be on the internet at all. And they started a YouTube page, and it makes me sick to even think about it. I don't even want them to. I told them you can't post anything without me looking at it first, but still it makes me sick just to even think about it.
You said that they started a YouTube page, meaning that they're going to post their own content, or they're going to look at other content?
No, they are going to post. They've been posting videos.
I think there's like a YouTube Kids to where it's.
I don't know.
Maybe look into that.
Yeah. All I know is that anything that gets posted.
Walk in and see your son trying to fuck your dog for his YouTube channel. And if anything, he better put that shit on our Patreon.
they made a video of them doing the bottle flip challenge where you try to flip the bottle and land it straight up and down.
Yeah.
So it's all good stuff, you know.
Yeah. That's
about as good as our show.
It's no worse than our show.
That's right.
All right. I don't want to keep reading the story. He pleaded guilty to 22 charges at St. Albans Crown Court relating to crimes between gentlemen. Prosecutor Simon Walshire said he posed as a young girl and incited them to engage in sexual activity over the internet. At times, he recorded the activity that was going on in front of him. This is depressing.
Yeah. I was wondering why you put this up here.
I think it was just because of the name, Harry Johnson.
All right. That's a long way for a short joke.
Don't judge me.
I'm not. Don't worry. I would never do that.
So the reason why I picked these stories is because we had nothing up here. That's why I picked these stories.
Fair enough. Well, I wasn't planning on recording tonight, actually. But the problem with that is that I wouldn't have put anything else up before the time we were going to record again.
Okay, this one, I promise you I will get through the whole thing.
All right.
I'm going to tweet at, not that anybody will see it since I'm fucking banned, but the author of this, but the title is Dog's Head Sent for Rabies Testing Gets Lost in the Mail. All right. So this is filled with puns, and it drives me nuts, but it's a doggone mystery. So there's a family pet. It, what?
Sorry. It drives you nuts like a steering wheel in your pants? Nothing?
All right, not everybody. Thank you.
Not even a chuckle? Go ahead.
That one comment just derailed everything. I've got nothing.
You said it's filled with puns and it drives me nuts. And that it was perfect.
All right. So there's a family's pet.
Yeah.
Had their dog's head cut off. Right? You have a family pet, right?
Yes.
Your kids love it. So imagine that somebody comes. I'm sure they don't do it right in the living room. They don't lop the head off right there in the living room, but try to explain to your kids that you can't, your dog's head's gone and nobody knows where it's at.
Nobody knows where the dog's head is.
All right, I'll get to the story. It's a doggone mystery. A package containing a canine's head was lost in the mail, and Texas veterinarians are barking mad, according to a report Tuesday. The dog noggin was supposed to be sent to a state lab in Austin and tested for rabies after the pooch bit a worker at Bright Star Veterinary Clinic in Sulphur Springs. The pooch owner agreed to euthanize the dog after the attack because its health was already poor, the local station reported. Noting that brain tissue is the best way to test for rabies, workers removed the canine's head and stuffed it in a package, according to the station.
Stuffed in a package.
Workers at the animal clinic sent it via express mail through a local shipping company, but the lab never received the creepy package, according to the station. Without the rabies diagnosis, vet techs were forced to rush to a hospital in Dallas and fork over cash for vaccines. The cost to vaccinate workers who handled the doggy brains was a... See, why write it like that? Was about $80,000, the clinic's office manager told the station. Vets still have no clue where the package ended up. Just think, somebody got a fucking dog's head mailed to them.
It wasn't me. That would be awesome, though. Especially, what I hope happened is that it's one of those things where it showed up and they were expecting a present for somebody, so they just got it in the mail and wrapped it real quick and put it under the tree. That would be amazing. So what I want to know is, how in the world does it cost $80,000 to vaccinate somebody for rabies?
I don't know. I'm sure that whole story was bullshit. I don't believe anything that's on the fucking internet.
So you're going to tweet at this person and tell them to learn how to write? Because that's a fucking terrible story.
Yeah. There's somebody is crying because they're fucking cut their dog's head off. Yes. And then the fucking shitty-ass dog owner's like, well, you know what? He's sick anyway, so yeah, just go ahead and put him down.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
All right, so I picked this one because
fucking internet.
I think you're going to get a kick out of it. Couple detained after hibiscus mistaken for pot. Sarver, Pennsylvania. A couple who say they were handcuffed for hours in a police patrol car after their hibiscus plants were confused for marijuana are suing the police and an insurance company. Edward and Audrey Kramer say in a lawsuit filed Tuesday that a nationwide insurance company agent investigating a fallen tree at their Buffalo Township home sent photos of their flowering plant to the police. The lawsuit alleges that Buffalo Township police officers with assault rifles went to their home on October 7th to investigate. Audrey Kramer, 66, said she was partially dressed when she went to the door and police would not let her put her pants on before she was handcuffed. I was not treated as though I was a human being, she said. I was just something they were going to push aside. Edward Kramer, 69, said he returned home about a half hour later to find his wife in the back of a police cruiser and officers pointing guns at him. He was also placed in the cruiser despite trying to convince the officers the plants were hibiscus, not marijuana. They actually ignored me, he said. They wouldn't even listen. I said, I can show you pictures on the internet. The Kramers eventually were released without charges. They are seeking monetary and damages and court costs. Nationwide Insurance declined to comment on Friday, citing their litigation. Township police also declined to comment. So the fucking insurance company was taking a picture of a
fallen tree and fucking sent pictures to the police. Fuck that. Hello? You're paying them. Hello.
Did I lose you? Yeah, somebody just fucking called me and was listening to our show.
Hey, all right. Was it me?
No, I don't know whose number it was. Well, that was fucking distracting. Thanks, dickheads.
Thanks, dickheads. So
anyway,
you're paying your insurance company and you're paying them to come to your house, take pictures of your shit, and give it to the police, that's fucked up, man.
All right, we got two more stories, and then we're going to shut this shit off. So this one's kind of irrelevant at this point, but I came across it late. And it's from your favorite website, Everyday Feminism.
Ten steps. I love it so much.
10 steps to a fat, shame-free Thanksgiving. All right. So I think that this could be applied not just on Thanksgiving, but all the time. Right. So this this story is just as stupid every other day of the year.
All right.
All right. As you probably know, Thursday is Thanksgiving here in the United States. The good news is that it's time to enjoy seeing friends and family and be reflective about all the wonderful things you have in your life. The bad news is that it's riddled with myths. It kicks off the most consumerist time of the year, and it involves a wide lot of fat shaming and food policing. It can be really
hold on. you missed the content warning. Just in case.
Where?
Content warning. Fat shame, body food policing. I just want to make sure everybody knows so they don't get triggered.
All right. And for the fat shamers themselves, here are 10 quick and easy steps to being a good person at your turkey day this week and any other time, really. All right. So those of you listening, this is it's very important that you follow none of these rules. If somebody is fat, you need to let them know that they have to lose weight or they're going to die. Is that true or false?
And you have to let them know that it offends you that they're fat. Always. Every conversation has to revolve around how their fatness offends you.
So every once in a while, you know, because I haven't always been fat. There was a lot of a big part of my life when I was actually in shape.
Okay.
And it just kind of like, so in my mind, it happened overnight. You know, one day I could see my dick, the next day I couldn't. And then...
All right.
But I like to be reminded that I'm fat because then it tells me that maybe I need to reevaluate my situation and start doing something about it. So
but think about it this way. If people stopped reminding you you're fat and you could just kind of lay into it, wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be great to just
I have
like,
no choice but to lay into it.
That I chose my words very carefully. just accept it. Oh, it's so nice to be fat. And nobody ever says anything. Nobody ever, there's no social stigma to it. You can just eat whatever you want and just be as fat as you want. Wouldn't that be great?
So I would prefer.
How old are you?
43.
All right. Heart attack coming anytime now.
Oh, okay. You just reminded me of something. So the story can hold off. I meant to write this down right. And I forgot. So I'm driving to work, you know, as I told you before, I got that long-ass fucking commute.
Uh-huh.
So I'm driving to work, and it's, what, 5, going on 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And as I'm driving, I'm sitting there listening to whatever fucking podcast I'm listening to, and I get this shooting pain in my side, like so much so that
crap.
I'm thinking that I'm going to have to pull off the side of the road so I don't get in a head-on collision.
All right.
So I'm driving down the road, and it's like, oh, fuck. And I'm saying that out loud. I'm like, fuck. I mean, it feels like somebody's fucking stabbing me.
All right.
And then it goes away for a little bit. It just kind of evens out. And I'm like, all right, you know, maybe I can make fuck. And it hits me again. And I would have thought that there was somebody in the car fucking shoving a fucking ice pick into my side.
Oh,
so I'm like, I got to fucking pull over, man. I'm going to fucking kill somebody. Ugh. And then the third time it happened again. And I could feel the fucking pain was radiating down into my leg. Oh, I'd spill my fucking coffee on myself when I was driving.
And you didn't know?
No. When you're as fat as I am, you just assume that all them pains are your body's getting ready to shut down.
This is why our show is going to make it. That is fucking hilarious.
Any pain that I get, it's like, oh, fuck, here it is. I'm going out.
Oh, fuck, dude. That is the best story ever. Any pain that I get, that's it. That's the big one. Oh, fuck, man. I can't even laugh. I can't even laugh at that. That is so fucked up.
All right.
The third time it happened.
So you're talking from the front, from the first pain to the time I figured out that I wasn't stroking out, you're talking about probably 15 to 20 miles. You know,
God, dude, what the fuck? How do you not fucking know? You just spilled coffee on yourself.
I'm telling you because I know that when I die, it's not gonna be in 20 years. You know, it's gonna be like in the next 30 days, and my my body's just gonna be like, I'm tired of fucking carrying this shit around. You're on your own. I mean, eventually shit just has to shut down, right? And I assume there's some pain that's going to go along with it. And so that's how I had a near-death experience.
Uh-huh. And when you actually go, you're going to be like, oh, I spilled some coffee on myself. And then you're dead.
Like, I spilled.
You're relating those two things.
I spilled coffee, and who's cooking toast in my car?
Holy fuck, man.
All right. So let's get back onto this list here.
yeah.
So don't make any comments about anyone's body. Okay. So. what? Okay. Don't make any comments about anyone's body. Bodies are the most personal thing, and it is very much not your responsibility to talk about anyone else's, especially in negative terms. But I even advise that you don't make positive body comments either.
Of course not.
Unfortunately, our world has made many people, especially women, ultra-sensitive about their bodies, and even a seemingly positive comment can draw unwanted attention. And a positive comment phrase like, oh, wow, have you lost weight? Contributes to our culture of fat phobia. Fuck.
God.
I'm not going to be able to get through this without it being like another hour-long conversation.
I guarantee you, if a woman lost 5 pounds and nobody said, did you lose weight? She would be more upset than if you said, huh, did you lose weight?
Additionally, even positive comments about someone's body can feed into eating disorders. And you never know who might be struggling with an unhealthy relationship with food. All right,
everybody.
So I'm going back up. Culture of what? Fat phobia. So a phobia is a, I'm not smart enough to know the exact definition, but it's like an
unfounded fear.
Unfounded. I kept thinking unrealistic, but unfounded fear of something. Yeah. So a fear of heights, fear of spiders, fear of, so is there a fat phobia? I mean, is there like, if you see somebody that's like 40 pounds walk into a room, do you go like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I do, but you know, I'm like the model of perfect health here. So
that it's either fucking they put an ism on something or a phobia.
Yep. And like, yeah. So
you're a fattest.
What would suck is if you were fat and Islamic or whatever they call them. Islamic, why? Is that what they call them? Because you got Islamophobia and fat phobia. Everybody's just scared of you all the time.
That's just as good as being a clown. But everybody's gonna.
is there a word for? That reminds me, I have a strange phobia. I can't remember what it's called now, and I've never really shared this with very many people. But I'm feeling like you're the lucky one today, Doug. I have this thing called fear of balloons. Have you heard of
that
before?
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I'm looking it up right now.
You're scared of balloons?
Yes.
You fucking pussy motherfucker. I know what I'm sending to your house.
Globophobia.
So, like, are you afraid they're just going to pop and yes. It's like anxiety?
Yes. That is exactly what it is. 100%. I will have an anxiety attack. I don't. It makes me so amazingly uncomfortable.
Right, so you're not scared of balloons. You just get anxious because you know they're going to pop in your presence and it's going to scare
yes.
you and
yes.
it just keeps feeding itself.
Yes.
Yeah, you're fucking retarded.
Thanks.
Fuck you. I just went through. So
our next Patreon episode is going to be like 3 minutes. So I'm scared of balloons.
So we just recorded the Patreon episode like we talked about earlier, and I opened up about when I was depressed and was going to kill myself, and of course we put our little spin on it trying to make pull all the humor out of it as possible.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you share, is that you're fucking afraid of fucking balloons. So what
it's
happens?
Traumatic,
like,
dude. It's traumatic.
So what happens
don't,
when you walk into the store?
Don't downplay my fucking trauma here.
Did you just assume my balloon problem?
The worst part,
the worst part is that you're afraid of balloons.
Nope. The worst part is that my son makes fun of me for it.
He just chases you around the house with him. It's going to go. It's going to go.
Sometimes.
Well, this is the bad. This is the what? Bad part about opening up.
No, it's great. Because I am fully aware that it's completely irrational and completely retarded. But that doesn't change the fact that I feel that way. And I still think it's fucking funny. I think you should be able to make fun of anything about anybody, this included.
So what about, like, if it's a video of balloons, does that bother you? Or do they have to be in your presence?
Yeah, in my presence.
Any specific color? Red, maybe? Anything that'll trigger you?
No. Oh, my God.
All right.
Kids always go to the store and they'll, can we get a balloon? I'm
like, no!
I can't get a goddamn balloon. Fucking bringing balloons into my goddamn
house. What are
you,
fucking crazy?
This is my house.
You know,
I don't bring balloons into my fucking house.
Your kids don't stand a fucking chance.
No.
You'll jerk off to somebody eating Fruit Loops out of somebody else's butthole, but
I draw the line at balloons.
Oh, fuck. All right, so number three. Learn
skip
about
number two.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Don't make any comments about your own body. Even though you are in charge of your own body, making comments about it can still send damaging messages to others. For example, when girls hear their mother say something like, "Ugh, I feel so fat in these jeans," their minds automatically go to, "Do I look fat?" And fat shame is affirmed.
Fat shame is affirmed.
Over. 10, 20, over. Our fat shame is affirmed.
I want to know.
Fat cunt here in.
I want to know what concern trolling is, because I got banned from a subreddit for concern trolling.
It's an impulse. Well, I'm glad you asked, Anthony. It's an impulse to say, but I really care about this person, and I'm really concerned about his or her health or weight, especially when the person in question is a family member. Kath at Fat Heffalump. Kathy has a lot of great reading about why this is problematic stance and how to differentiate it from a genuine concern. While you're at it, read Regan Chastain's whole blog to learn that thin does not equal healthy. So they didn't even say anything. They didn't even answer. They don't even know what the fuck they're talking about.
No, I'm not reading any of that bullshit.
Don't make comments about anyone's food consumption. All right.
Oh my God. Can we talk to anybody at all? Just don't talk to anybody. Just sit in the corner and shut your fucking mouth, and then you won't fat shame anybody, you dumb sons of bitches.
Hey,
so
how'd you
fucking retarded?
How you like that food? You didn't call me fat.
I'm just fat shaming.
All right. What was it? Don't make comments about anyone's food consumption. This goes right along with concern trolling. Food policing includes comments like, "Are you really sure you should be eating that? It has so many calories." Or, "Do you really need seconds?" Or, "Maybe you should put that second roll back." And talking about the one hanging over your belt, you fat fuck.
I was just going to say, talking about the chin. You better pull that chin back. Fucking food in your mouth.
You look like a big stack of tires, you fat bastard.
I think that falls into one of these rules here.
It's okay. I can say that. Some of my best friends are fat. All of these... All right. All of these comments operate under the guise of, "I'm just helping you make healthy choices." But they are actually intended to shame the recipient into eating less and feeling horrible about their food choices. These comments are deeply rooted in fat phobia. There we go again with these bullshit words. Of course, previous to today, if somebody would have said, like, balloon phobia, I would have said, there we go with them bullshit words.
Oh, I don't make a big deal out of it. I've never tried to change anybody's mind or I'm get gonna. Balloons banned.
You better fucking believe I'm gonna.
How awesome would it be if I could get balloons banned in the United States, though?
Well, you better hurry up because they're going to start showing up at your fucking house.
Awesome.
It reminds me, when I was a kid, my dad, he blew up, I would say, probably like 600 balloons.
Yeah.
And so when I opened up the door to go up to my room, they all came down the stairs at me for my birthday.
Yeah.
That probably would have sent you to the fucking corner, wouldn't it?
Oh, God.
Is this something you had all your life?
Yes.
Or just as you get older and more fucked up?
Yeah. And no, as long as I can remember, I'm not comfortable around balloons.
You got any other irrational fears? Not that you're going to share now, but.
I don't like spiders. I have very, very, very much arachnophobic.
I can't make fun of that.
That's a normal one.
I ever tell you the story about when I got out of the shower and I had that big spider on my shoulder?
No.
All right. So me and my wife were getting ready to go out, and she had already taken a shower, and then I was getting out of the shower, and I'm sitting there drying off, and she turns around, you know, she's in the bathroom with me. She turns around, and she goes, "Don't move. There's a spider on your shoulder." And I'm like, "No, there's not. Hot. Shut the fuck up." And she said, "There's a spider on your shoulder. Do you just get it off?" So I started like tensing up, you know, when mm-hmm. you know you're about to get scared, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I slowly looked down, and this fucking spider was probably the size, I don't know, I'd say a baseball, you know?
All right.
Like that big around, you know? So I turned, and this fucking thing is huge. And I went, Of course, she started laughing. What it was a piece of lint off my towel.
That's even better.
Oh, fuck.
So when a buddy of mine used to live with us, and we kicked him out on bad terms, he left on bad terms or whatever, and he had a pet tarantula, like a fucking tarantula, not like a little tiny baby spider. The fucking thing was humongous. Well, he moved out, and it was probably, I don't know, a week after he moved out or whatever. And this was, you got to remember, this was before I had kids. I used to like to go upstairs when I masturbated. That's just what I did, right? So my wife was gone. I was naked, heading upstairs. I opened the door to head upstairs, and I took two steps up, and he had taken this tarantula, it was dead, and put it on the fucking stairs. And this was the first time I'd been upstairs since he fucking moved out, and I was naked, ready to, I was like, oh God, I'm fucking ready to go, you know. And
were you already pumping as you were walking up the stairs?
Yes, yes, that's what I was trying to get at. I was ready to go, man. And I just remember I don't think I've ever jumped so high in my life. I jumped backwards, like down three stairs, and I fell on my ass.
The whole time when you jumped and were you falling backwards, were you still stroking?
Yes. No, I wasn't stroking, but my cock was in my fucking hand, and I'm falling back. I felt like I was in the air for 15 minutes, like flailing my fucking one arm with my dick in my other hand.
Going like the 1980s slow motion fall, and your other hand is just steady pumping still.
Yeah. Fuck that fucking spider. So it fucked me up. So I didn't even jack off, and I closed the door and left the house and waited for my wife to get home. There's no fucking way I was going anywhere near the goddamn thing. What does that have to do with any of this? So we're fucking reading this article, and we're fucking.
You know, I was honestly kind of worried that we weren't going to have enough to talk about with this, you know, because there was no thought into them stories, and then this list here. But fuck, every list about fat people takes us off into something that's generally, it's always about jerking off or. But
I think I really like fat people, and that's why I talk about jerking off when we talk about fat people.
Don't make comments about anyone's food consumption, and we ended up talking about you jerking off on the stairs with a tarantula.
Oh, shit.
All right. Resist the urge to keep track of anyone's food consumption. Yeah, like you just keep score when people are fucking eating. Fuck.
Yeah.
This can be a very difficult task for anyone who has their own issues with eating or people who are fat phobic. What is, okay, you're up on all this lingo. What's fat phobic?
They don't like fat people.
So that's all it means.
That's all it means is that people that don't like fat people and are against fat people always talking bad about fat people.
So like people that body shame or fat shame or whatever. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Yep, yeah.
So it can be very tempting to notice when other people get seconds and then get a sick sense of satisfaction thinking, at least I didn't eat that much, or what a disgusting
thing.
Who thinks
this way?
Who
the fuck thinks this way?
I do.
The only way I think what a disgusting pig is if they're already huge. If it's just a regular-looking dude getting seconds, who thinks like that?
Right.
Maybe they think you're a disgusting-looking pig because you're a fucking disgusting-looking pig.
So I know... I've only done this one fucking time, right? And this goes back to last week. So remember last week, right in the middle of the podcast... I was like, hey, I got to go shit. And then we just took a pause.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
All right. So this has only happened to me one time, you know. So I've talked about it before, how I have that phobia of shitting somewhere other than home.
Sure.
All right. Which then you take that I have something wrong with my digestive system. So, you know, sometimes I can be in the middle of my first bite and my stomach's already trying to squirt it out my asshole, you know. But this one time I was at I want to say it was fucking Golden Corral. You know, it's like the Walmart of buffets. Just nastiest,
disgusting.
Fucking, yeah. And I was
they
like,
serve you food in buckets, don't they? Like a trough.
I know at the time they were bragging that they had the whatever the cheese fountain and the chocolate fountain.
Oh god!
It's just like it's like a gluttonous heaven. I mean, it's like it's a fucking Walmart restaurant is all it is. It's the yes. same group of people that are at that go to Walmart. Go to fucking Golden Corral. It's
yes.
Yeah. All right.
Agreed.
So anyway, I was at Golden Corral. And
yep.
I was like, let's say two plates in, I guess. I don't know.
awesome.
And I'm like,
you had just got there.
I'm like, I got a shit. So I'm not going to be able to avoid this. You know, this food wasn't prepared properly. Not the fact that I put in 35 fucking meals in one serving. So I get up and go take a shit, and then I come back out, and it's like, okay, so the right thing to do is leave. But I just made all this room.
Uh-huh. You gotta fill it up.
I gotta get my money's worth. I'm not gonna let them. I'm not gonna pay all this money just to leave the food here.
There's still food left on the buffet.
But the reason why I told that story is because when. Ultimately, I made the choice to go back up to the buffet and get some more fried shrimp. And the thought that went through my mind is, what a disgusting pig.
about the guy next to you?
All right, number six. Don't acknowledge changes in anyone's body. At the we both just let out this like exasperated gasp. At the holidays, we typically see people we haven't seen in a while, so it is natural to notice differences in people's appearance. But it helps nothing, and I mean nothing, to verbalize this. Just awesome. Keep the thoughts to yourselves. If you want to tell someone they look beautiful or happy, then go for it. But do not draw attention to their body specifically.
You look great
from the neck up. That helps.
If I was allowed to talk about your body, I would tell you it was nice.
All right.
Jesus criminy.
Reserve judgment. The snapshot of someone's diet and behavior that you gather from spending a holiday together is clearly not the full picture of their lifestyle. So don't judge them based on limited interactions around the table. And remember, it's not your business anyway. Speak out against fat-phobic and body-shaming comments. It can really be hard to be a body-accepting person in an environment where you don't know if you are safe.
They keep saying the word safe like they know what it means, but I don't think they do.
You should only be a body accepting person if your body is not on the brink of death.
Oh, I don't agree with that, but okay.
You're wrong. If
okay. Would you say that you're on the brink of death?
I'm close enough that
you just have a heart attack driving to work.
I'm far enough out of shape that I shouldn't be upset if people notice it.
Oh, yeah, no. I agree with that. But there's a difference between noticing that somebody's fat and being a complete and total asshole. Like, these rules are retarded, but they could have just went with one rule. Don't be an asshole. I mean, doesn't that just sum it all up?
But that applies to every ism and phobia and yes. whatever.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this article. I'm talking about everything.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. Don't be an asshole. Because you're not going to sit there at Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner or any other fucking dinner and look at somebody. People that aren't an asshole aren't going to look at somebody and say, wow, you've put on a few pounds. Or I see that they're feeding you well, whatever.
Do you need fourths? Come on.
Do you want two forks? You fat. But
I think
if you get to the point that when you sit down in an airplane seat, part of you spills into the other seat, you yeah. should expect to be talked to, unless you pay for the second seat, right? Or if you're
in that instance, yes.
If you're so fat that you can't walk from your car and do some grocery shopping without getting one of them little rascals, then I think people should say something. I truly do. Maybe not walk up and say, hey, you fat slut. Nothing like that.
Hey, you fat slut. What does your sexuality have to do with it? Hey, you fat slut.
Because you know all fat people are sluts.
Hey, fat slut. That's great. I love it. So whose responsibility is it?
Mine.
You can't. So what if you're not around?
Then they get a pass, I guess. I don't know. No, so it...
they get a pass.
No,
you're lucky Doug's not here, you fat slut.
You better drive that rascal over to the fucking leafy greens, bitch.
Oh my god.
So I don't I have never and would never in a public setting say something to somebody like, oh, maybe you shouldn't have them double stuffs in your cart.
No, because that would make you an asshole.
Right. Or you know, if you go to a buffet or something and there's people that pile that shit up, right?
And
generally, the bigger the person, the more food they have on their plates.
Right. Right? There's a correlation there.
And I will look at them in judgment. I can't help
it. I think everybody will. I think that that's human nature.
Okay. I don't know where
I was. I wasn't expecting that.
All right.
Oh fuck.
Speak out against fat phobic and body shaming comments, such as what we are doing now.
Mm-hmm.
It can be really hard to be a body accepting person in an environment where you don't know if you're safe. Blah, blah, blah. So if someone makes a fat phobic or body shaming comment and you feel comfortable speaking up against it, do so. This will help set the stage for a body hate free zone.
Ugh.
I'm gonna
everybody's gonna have their fucking zones now.
I'm gonna put up a sign on bedroom door, body hate free zone. That means my wife has to fuck me.
Oh my god.
Let me lift up my big belly so you can see my small pecker, but you're not allowed to judge me.
Don't judge me.
All right. Shutting down fat shame is particularly helpful from the host, who tends to set the stage for the tone of an event. It can be seen. It can be as simple as a lighthearted, "Oh, we don't talk like that here."
Oh, we don't talk like that here. So when you go, if you go to your folks' house for Thanksgiving, are they the hosts, and do they set the tone for the evening? Who talks like that? Set the tone for the evening. Don't be a retard. Just hang out with each other.
Don't be a retard.
That's so fucking stupid. The host,
and especially
set
don't
the tone
be a fat retard.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I think that we could start a podcast, just go to Everyday Feminism and just pick the top article and just start reading articles from Everyday Feminism, and that could be our podcast, and we would be successful. They are full of this.
Yeah, so you know what bothers me is that we're, and I even told you I didn't want to do it anymore, and I'm the one that picked these articles this week.
Yeah,
we're going to, it's like more and more we're going towards a anti-social justice warrior attitude. Right. And I guess I don't know why. I mean, there's other things to talk about, but okay, go ahead. Let me know.
No, this is great. No, because this movement is moving me against my will to the right. You know what I mean? Like on a left-right spectrum, they're moving me more to the extreme right without me doing anything. My views have always been pretty liberal, pretty left-leaning, but now all of a sudden, I'm a right-winger. And my views are the same. The shit infuriates me because they're so fucking stupid.
Right, but it's because when you start talking about safe spaces and all that shit, you know, unfortunately, I have found myself agreeing more with the people on the right than the left because I associate the right with, I guess, more of a, not really a sense of humor because conservatives aren't exactly known for a sense of humor, but people on the far right have a darker sense of humor than the far left, right? I mean, so if you have to split everybody into two groups, either right or left.
Yeah.
The left are the people that want to protect, you know, you can't talk about this, you can't say this, you can't say this, you can't say this.
Yes.
And I'm not in that group. So so I'm finding myself, you know, more on the right on social issues.
Right. And, and so am I, and I don't like it because my views never changed. They're pushing me that way. My views are the same, right?
I don't think they're pushing you anyway. I think the scale is just shifting. I think you're staying in the same spot, and the scale is shifting.
Which in essence, pushing me.
No, it's
the same thing. Don't fucking argue with me.
All right.
Fuck.
Number nine.
Fuck. Number nine.
If you mess up and make a comment that someone is uncomfortable with, like about their eating or body, just apologize. It's so incredibly simple. Don't try to justify, just apologize. Understand that if someone sets boundaries with you, i.e., what's on my plate isn't up for discussion. That's how I'm going to start every meal.
Doug, would you like to say grace? What's on my plate isn't up for discussion.
That's perfect. A sign that if your aim is to be good, if your aim is to be a good, respectful person in a general kind of way, you must respect those boundaries. Again, their eating and bodies are none of your business. Have I said that enough? Number 10, seriously, just don't talk about anyone's body. Yes, that gets repeated because it's that important. If you follow that rule always, then the rust are unnecessary, really. All right, so to recap, don't talk about bodies. It's like Fight Club.
Yep. Don't talk about being fat is the number one rule of being fat.
You can't even talk about yourself being fat.
Why I don't like this is because basically what this is 10 rules for you to follow by some douche. Who wrote this? A. Lynn. Douche.
Douche.
I mean, so it's like, I'm going to write an article of 10 rules that people have to follow in order for them to be good enough for me to think they're a good person. Fuck you. You can lick my fucking hairy nuts.
My big fat nuts.
Yeah, my fat nuts. You fucking fat slut.
You fat fucking slut. All right. So let's end this fucking show with this white feminism shit.
All right. Love white feminism.
I didn't even know it was a thing.
Did you know there's white people?
White people.
Did you know there's feminists? White people. Did you know there's white people?
All right. So we're going to read this, I think, as a just a conversation as it's written, I guess. A play of sorts.
I want to be Zeba.
All right. You can be Zeba. All right. Yes. You might have a you got the part, Anthony. You know what? We need to get you on the casting couch first.
Even better.
Hey, can you do me a favor and go fuck your dog? That's how you're going to get the part.
I'm going to fuck the shit out of that dog. This part is mine.
I'm doing it for Hollywood. I'm sorry, buddy. This is my big break, so I'm going to split you.
Yeah. See, it's not me doing it. It's Zeba. I'm trying to get into character.
All right. You might have come across the term white feminism recently. This term sometimes comes up when we talk about intersectionality. All right, what's that?
Mm-hmm. It is where anti-feminism or feminism, anti-racism, all of the things that are social justice related, where they all meet, how they're all connected.
All right. All right. The term sometimes come up when we talk about intersectionality, and it was used in a lot of discussions of Nicki Minaj and Taylor Swift's recent Twitter exchange, which I know nothing about.
Me neither.
But do you know what white feminism means? Here's a short breakdown of what it is, why it's problematic, and how you can make sure you're not part of the problem. Let's work together to build a stronger feminist movement instead of one that silences so many of us. With love, the editors at Everyday Feminism. All right. So you are going to play the part of Zeba.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Emma.
You might have heard the term white feminism used lately after Nicki Minaj and Taylor Swift's Twitter exchange or when people critique HBO's Girls. But what does it mean?
I honestly thought, Zeba, when we booked this interview, that you were going to be a black female with a very heavy African accent. Boy, am I surprised at the accent that you have now.
Let's start over.
Okay, go ahead.
Yous might have heard the term white feminism used lately.
Hold on. So I was thinking like even deeper African, you know, like. Yes, Zeba. Basically, white feminism is feminism that ignores intersectionality. Right. So, I've never heard that exact dialect, you know.
It's a southern dialect.
It really sounds like you're tongue fucking a goat.
Yeah, that's what we're going for.
You fucking nailed it. You know what? You don't even have to fuck your dog. You got the part.
All right. I'm reading this in a regular voice.
Boring.
How about a high-pitched voice? Not all feminists feminists.
I can't take that. Just you do it in a regular voice, and I'll do it in a British accent.
Oh, I got to hear that. Are we starting over?
Sure.
Are we starting over? All right, I got this one. You might have heard the term white feminism used lately after Nicki Minaj Taylor Swift's Twitter exchange or when people critique HBO's Girls, but what does it mean?
Oh, hello, Gubna.
Do people think that's all that British people say?
That's all I've ever heard them say.
That's all we ever say.
The only thing I know from British people is from Penn and Teller and the musical Oliver. That's all I know.
Amazing.
More. It's from Oliver. All right.
Oh, shit.
Basically, white feminism is feminism that ignores intersectionality.
Not all feminists who are white feminists.
Most white feminists are white. Because white people just don't have to think about things like race on a daily basis.
Are you shitting over there? We're not just pulling the race card. White feminism excludes the experiences of basically anyone who is not white, cis, and straight.
Here's why that's so problematic.
First, it assumes the way white women experience the misogyny is the way all women experience misogyny, and that's just not true.
White feminism aims... This isn't fun.
I don't think it is either.
You're We got to work on your voices.
I don't have very many.
Sounds like
this
fucking
is my...
like an autistic ninth grade arts and crafts teacher is what it.
Hi, everybody.
That's what I was going for.
Please stop doing that.
You've got it, sir.
Do a Hulk Hogan one or something.
Okay, brother. First, it assumes the way white women experience misogyny is the way all women experience misogyny. What?
Raising the minimum wage.
Oh, boy.
To a living wage, correct?
Correct.
This is still playing.
Raising the minimum wage, I think, is the topic.
You never stopped it?
Sounds good. All right, which one do you want to start with? Welfare. All right, so I believe your opinion. I don't want to.
All right, so you can catch that wherever shitty podcasts are sold.
Catch that wherever. Oh fuck! Are we fucking done? We didn't even get through this fucking white fucking feminist bullshit. Fucking everyday feminism.
Yep.
Everything we put on this list, we just basically just said the fucking title. And
oh, it gave us something to talk. A lot of these conversations that we had, we wouldn't have had without the jumping off point.
I love it. I love it.
All right. So if you want to hear the inside the deepest, darkest places of my mind, go to our Patreon page. There will be a... we're going to start putting episodes up on there. We're going to try to do it like at least a couple a month. But
yeah,
the first one is when I was going through a depression and was going to hang myself. It's a fucking great time.
It's a great time. It's good. It's good to kick it off that way.
No, there's some good laughs in there.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Don't look for me on Twitter because I'm fucking blocked. So whatever. And don't look for Anthony on Twitter because he doesn't use it.
I'm blocked. I've been blocked since the beginning.
We got to come up with.
We got to go through this one more time. I think social media is retarded.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I got anything else to say? You
got nothing.
All right.
Are we done?
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Is your labia hanging out? All right. Splash. Oh, so you see you later. No. Fuck you. Yeah.